There are certain feelings that are so powerful and so passionate that you can't speak them. They have to be sung. This is the opening chorus from the St. Matthew Passion by Johann Sebastian Bach. It's music for Easter, telling the story of the last days of Christ. But at any time of the year, the passion in Bach's music can reach out and pull you in, which is why classical music commentator Miles Hoffman called up the other day with an idea. Listen, he said, we're not only heading into Easter, but March 21st is Bach's birthday. Let's mark the day by talking about his passion in life and music.
The word passion in Latin comes from the word passio, which means suffering. And since the Middle Ages, it's a word that's been used to describe the suffering of Jesus on the cross and the suffering that led up to the events of the crucifixion. And passion has also been used to describe the musical pieces that are settings of those stories.
And Bach was a good Lutheran?
He was a very good Lutheran.
And so much of that religious devotion comes through in his music, I think.
Well, it certainly does come through in his music. But the interesting thing is that we really don't know what his personal religious convictions were. He worked for the church. He wrote all this sacred music. But, you know, I think that his genius was not so much for expressing religious conviction in music. It was for expressing emotion in music and passion, that other kind of passion that we think about.
So you discern a personality when you hear his music.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think this is a big mistake when we look at Bach not to discern a personality, that we really have to. Look, this is a guy, you know, he had 20 kids, Bob, and he didn't make them at the harpsichord, you know. He got into a sword fight when he was young. He got into a sword fight with a bassoonist. As a matter of fact.
Well,
yeah, I guess that explains it, right? But he got in trouble with his employers. He lost his temper. He even got thrown into jail by one of his employers. So this was a living, breathing, rather hot-tempered
rowdy
human being. You know, part of the reason that people think of Bach as an old fuddy-duddy is because there's only one fully authenticated portrait of him. And it shows him as an old guy with a wig, a powdered wig, looking very stuffy and stolid. There's another portrait, which is not completely authenticated, but it's thought that it's of Bach. And it's Bach as a young man. And when you look at it, you say, oh, this was a handsome, dashing guy. And lots of the music that we love, the instrumental music especially, the concertos, the Brandenburg concertos, they were written when he was a young man in his 30s, when he looked like this portrait. Young and dashing.
You've said that when you listen to any of Bach's music, you forget about the middleman.
Right. Well, Bach was so skilled that it's almost as if his passion just came out as music. If we think of an analogy, think of sports. Think of somebody like Larry Bird or Magic Johnson. They're running down the court, and somehow the ball just winds up where they want it to go. These fellows aren't thinking about technique. They just have technique. They have awesome technique. And I think with Bach, he had such astonishing command of every possible musical technique that it just came out for him better than it did for anybody else.
Did he know how good he was? Was he stuck on himself that way?
Well, that's an interesting question. I'm not sure that he did. He knew how good he was as an organist because he was by far the most famous organist in Germany. And it's because of Bach, by the way, that we have the expression to pull out all the stops. Because when he went and tried an organ, he pulled out all the stops to see what kind of lungs the organ had. So he knew his worth as an organist. And on some level, I'm sure he knew that he was a great composer. But many of his works weren't published, weren't printed until years after his death. I don't know that he had any idea that this music would survive him.
Ja.
you know, people tend to use words like transcendent, and they always work the word God in when they're talking about Bach. Beethoven called him the immortal God of harmony.
You don't have to be religious to appreciate religious music, obviously.
Well, I don't think so. And again, it comes back to this point of the emotions that are expressed in religious music are emotions that are common to all of us. If we go back to the text of the St. Matthew Passion, all over the place you see words like love and fear and broken heart and longing. Bach may be setting texts that talk about Jesus and Jesus's crucifixion and all these very trenchant religious stories. But on another level, he's simply writing music about pain, about loss, about sadness, or about glory and transcendence. So whether it was sacred music or secular music, passion was what counted for Bach.
Miles Hoffman is a commentator on NPR's Performance Today and artistic director of the American Chamber Players.